We're part of My Verse series. And the most exciting thing about this series to me is that I get to share with you and I get to speak the words of God that God has spoken to me. A part of the My Verse series is every week, we're in week four right now, all right? Every week we're challenging each other as a community, as a church, to memorize Scripture and commit it to memory. This week's verse, our memory verse, comes from 2 Timothy 3:16. Can we read this together, please? All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. All right, God is all about teaching, and he's all about teaching truth, and we're going to lean on him today for the message, okay? I fully admit to you, I'm not capable of doing this myself, and God, we just ask that you would help us to hear from you today. We're going to get into teaching what is true, all right? And we're going to start like this, all right? In your handout, you'll see a nice God circle. Really quick, it's about what you feel, okay? I'm asking you, what do you feel? If you feel close to God, why don't you write close right there? If you feel far from God, I want you to write far and kind of like, you know, far away from there. If you're kind of in the middle, all right, kind of like, like that, I want you to write right in the middle, okay? And there's four H's, don't miss them, okay? And just do that, and we'll come back to that in a little bit, okay? I promise you. Let's arrive just real quick. Let's put it out there, our bottom line for today. Our bottom line is when the truth's brought to light, I'm pointed to Christ. We're going to get into truth today, and some of it's going to be a little ugly. Some of it's going to be beautiful, and we're just going to kind of see what happens, all right? All right, turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 15. Now, if you didn't bring a Bible, that's perfectly fine. Just kind of look around you. There should be a Bible near to you. If you're using one of those, it's page 439. So 1 Samuel 15, page 439. Some of us are really familiar with this part of Scripture. Some of us are not familiar with it yet. So let's just make sure we're all on the same page. And let's go through a little bit of historical context, if you will, all right? First point is, who's Samuel? Right? I mean, Samuel wrote this, but who is he? Samuel's a prophet, and he's a priest. Okay, so let's get into the prophet part. God, when he wanted to communicate to his people, what God would do is he'd speak to his prophet, and the prophet would then relay that message to who God was speaking to. All right, in this case, it's Israel. So who's Israel? Okay, Israel was a nation of God's chosen people. And they wanted a king like the surrounding nations. Now, here's an interesting fact. Israel had a king. And that king was God himself, the creator of the universe, the maker of heavens, earth, the seas, and all that was in them. That's who the king of Israel was. But they didn't want that. They wanted a human king. The first human king was named Saul. All right? Saul was the first human king of Israel, and he had some serious issues. Okay, we're going to get into that in a little bit here as we read the word. But basically, he turned away from God. Right? He turned away from God, and he was very independent. All right, Saul was like all about himself. And we'll learn that too, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. All right, without further ado, let's actually get into the scripture. All right, we'll start verse 10. And we're going to do a little bit of skipping around. We're not trying to hide anything. In fact, I encourage you to read 1 Samuel on your own and get the full picture. But in the interest of time, we'll do a little bit of skipping around, okay? So let's do that together. We'll start in verse 10. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel. I regret that I have made Saul king, because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions. Samuel was angry, and he cried out to the Lord all that night. All right, let's turn to 16:1. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." All right, then we'll go to verse 4. Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Now, they're fearful because of something that happened in chapter 15. If you want to know more, check it out. Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab. Eliab was the oldest son of Jesse. Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." All right, let's pause just for a second. Samuel and us are really similar, okay? I would argue we're just about the same in this regard. Here's what's going on in Samuel's mind, all right? When Samuel thought king of Israel, he thought Saul. So when God said, "Hey, there's going to be a new king," here's what Samuel was thinking. All right, where's the next Saul? And then he saw Eliab. Eliab was probably tall, probably strong. He was the oldest. All right, similar to Saul. All right, so, but thankfully, listen, God is not like us. All right, God doesn't look for the next old thing. God, oftentimes, he's got something new in store. All right, he's different than us. All right, let's re-dive. Here we go. Verse 7. "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at.'" Thank God. "People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shema pass by, but Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He is tending the sheep." Wait a minute. Like, there's somebody so insignificant, they weren't even invited to this anointing party. All right? And the answer is, yeah. Yeah, there was someone. Like didn't even consider inviting the lowest son. He was nothing special, regarded as lowly. He was taking care of the sheep. I didn't invite him. He's taking care of the sheep. Interesting. Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. Basically poured oil all over him. It was really messy. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah. So who is the second king of Israel? David, yeah. So David, I mean, this is very significant. All right. So let's just summarize real quick. Okay, Saul was rejected. David had seven older brothers. They were all rejected. Yet David was chosen. What's going on there? What's so special about David? Acts 13:22 tells us a little bit. All right, here's what Acts 13:22 says. God says, "I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do." All right, here we go. Ready? Let's get a little controversial. When God says he will, speaking of David, "He will do everything I want him to do," here's what I think. David's not going to sin. Right? David's sinless. Is that the case? Absolutely not. What are some infamous sins of David? Just shout them out. Murder, adultery, bingo. Okay, yep. And he did a lot of lying. He did a lot of hiding the truth, that sort of thing. David had some serious pride issues as well. And David was no saint in the sense of the word that we know it as. All right, he was not perfect. He was not without sin. I mean, he was a bad dude at times. Okay, so again, why was David so special? If we contrast Saul and David, I think that'll shed a little bit of a light on this. Saul turned away from God. David, on the other hand, turned towards God. And there's a word for that. It's called repent or repentance. Okay, so Saul turned away from God. David turned towards God in repentance. Saul was very independent. All right, the world, the whole universe, the stars, moon, all of that revolved around Saul. David, on the other hand, was in a constant state of dependence. David depended on God all the time. And here's what we find is this mega colossal takeaway. All right, it's right here. It was not necessarily the quality of David's heart. It wasn't the quality because we just talked about, right, murder, adultery, lying, I mean, all of that. Right? It's not about the quality because, wow, if it was, David's certainly not doing everything God wants him to do, right? No, it was the attitude of David's heart. It was this attitude of repentance, this attitude of dependence. That's why David was so special. It's pleasing to God when we turn to him. So pleasing. We just turn to him right now, right? Like God, please make us more like you. God, you're looking to speak to us today. Father, open our hearts to your truth. God, open our hearts to your truth that we might be pointed to you and pointed to Christ. Thank you, Father. Right in the middle of the passage we read lies my verse. And this verse is so significant to me. Over and over and over again, God just speaks this into my life. And I'm just going to read it for you real quick. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, and here's the part that gets me, right? But the Lord looks at the heart. God speaks truth and comfort to me in this verse. And that doesn't always happen at the same time. Like sometimes I get truth, right? Sometimes I get truth and it's really uncomfortable, right? There's no comfort, just a hard truth. Sometimes I get comfort, but to be honest with you, it's lacking in truth, right? Like somebody's the famous one, hey, it's going to be all right. And it's like, no, it's not going to be all right. Don't tell me that. Like, it's not all right. Have you heard a word I'm saying? You know, that sort of thing. But God is different. Again, God is not like us. All right, he speaks truth and comfort. He's so, so good. All right, so here's some truths about me. Let's get into that second. Truths about me. I'm just going to be a little, transparent, if you will. I'm not sure. Let me tell you about my heart, because the Lord looks at the heart, right? So let me tell you, when the Lord looks at my heart, here's a little bit of what he sees, all right? There's some hidden actions. There's stuff that I do I don't want anyone else to know about. I don't want people to see that stuff. It's not pretty, all right? I got some stuff going on upstairs, right? Some thoughts. They're secrets, and they're going to stay that way, right? I'm not the nice guy that everybody thinks I am. All right, everybody sees me serving and doing whatever and being nice and all that. And believe me, that is not what's going on in here all the time. All right, it's not. Not at all. I've got a history of sin. And we're talking years and years and years. And I'm not even that old, okay? So I'm getting there. But just a history. A life apart from God. Okay? My heart is no good. And there's a sentence that really sums this up well. Actually, let's not go there quite yet. I want to challenge you. Have you examined your heart? I mean, the word that describes my heart is I've got little ones at home. This is a very popular word in our house. It's yucky. My heart is yucky. So is your heart yucky? Do you got any yuck in your heart? Have you looked at your heart lately? Have you considered what's going on inside? If you haven't, I challenge you to do that right now. All right? And maybe what that looks like is, do you have any hurts? Do you have any habits? Do you have any hang-ups? Do you have any of that going on? All right? Do you have any addictions, right? Maybe to substance, maybe to something on the computer you shouldn't be looking at. All right? Maybe it's social media. Right, and I don't want to play Candy Crush, so don't stop sending me the invites. I'm not playing. Like, don't do it anymore. All right? I'm not doing that. All right, maybe there's a relationship, you know, that you shouldn't be involved in, you know. Maybe your eyes are going places they shouldn't be. I mean, whatever it is, what's going on in there? All right, consider that. Because remember, the Lord looks at the heart. And when I think about that truth, the Lord looks at the heart, here's a sentence that sums it up beautifully, all right? My reality was depravity. That sums it up right there. And if you're not familiar with depravity or the fact that my heart is depraved, here's what depravity means. Moral corruption or wickedness. I tell you what, apart from Christ, that's my heart. It is ugly to the fullest degree. Thankfully, there's truths about God, too. All right, so let's get into that. The Lord looks at the heart. So let's kind of peel back the layers on that just for a second. If the Lord looks at the heart, guess what? He has the ability to look at the heart. All right, Stephanie, I see you there. I can try and like, Stephanie and I serve together in the Driven Ministry. She's awesome. So I'm just kind of pointing her out here. I can look at Stephanie's heart, and I just won't see it. All I see is this red Driven shirt. I will never be able to see. I don't have that ability. I don't. But God does. He has the ability to look at our hearts. All right. He also has the authority to look at our hearts. Okay? Meaning, he's not looking at our hearts and looking at something that he shouldn't look at. No, he has the authority. He has the right to do that. He's not invading my personal bubble. He made me. He can look at my heart if he wants to. Okay? That's his business. I got no say in that. All right. And here's the other thing, and this might sound really similar, but God looks at the heart, but also God has the knowledge of my heart. And here's what I mean. You ever look at algebra? You're like, I see it, but I don't get it. You ever get that? like some people are like, man, that's why I failed high school, okay? You know? No, just kidding. All right. But God is different. He sees the heart, and he understands it. He sees my heart, and he gets it, that I'm just morally bankrupt. Even on my best day, I just don't have a chance apart from Christ. I mean, it's that bad. That's what he sees in me. Yet, he still chooses to pursue me. He still chooses to draw me in. Right? Sometimes he drags me to him. I mean, it's like a beautiful truth. I mean, God, thank you that you're not like me, because I wouldn't drag someone to me if they didn't want anything to do. But he does that, right? He forgives me. God says, come as you are, right? And we talk about that at Fox River. But I tell you what, that's God's thing. That's God's heart. We kind of borrow it from God. That's him, come as you are. Wherever you are, whatever you like, I mean, wherever you've been, it doesn't matter. You just come as you are. Come to God. And he walks with me. He walks with us. His children, he doesn't just kind of like do them a favor and then just say, you're on your own. No, he walks and has fellowship and relationship with his children. Here's a sentence about God. I mean, you get one takeaway from today, this might be the one, all right? God is so full of grace and abounding with love. That's the truth about God. Now, I got some issues, but that's my God right there. God is so full of grace, and he's abounding with love, just overflowing with love. That's my God. That's our God. There's a beautiful verse in Scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:21, and here's what that says. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You might have heard that before. You might have sang that before. Chris Tomlin's got a really popular song about that. And if you've never thought about what that actually means, let me just kind of explain it just for a second here. God the Father has a perfect son named Jesus, all right? And when you think of Jesus right now, just think of like a lamb, okay? A lamb, perfectly white, innocent, just perfect, and like that, just real nice, okay? And what God did is he took this ugliness, this guilt, this shame, this sin, he took it, this nastiness, and he just obliterated his perfect son. Obliterated, just destroyed his son, just wrecked the perfectly white lamb. And he did it so that we might become the righteousness of God. Meaning, if I believe in Jesus, if I trust in Jesus, by God's grace, if I follow Jesus, then the perfection that is Jesus gets credited to me. Hallelujah. It's like failing a test and the teacher hands the test back to you and you know you got an F. You know it. But there's an A plus on it. It's like, whoa, cool. All right. I could have used some of that when I was in school. I really could have. You know, it didn't happen that way. But God is so great. So great. Teach you a little bit of Greek today. All right. And I didn't even take any Greek classes, but I know this word. All right. Good news. What's the Greek word for good news? It's gospel. That's the gospel, is that Jesus is perfect. I'm screwed up. But because of who God is, right? Because he's so full of grace, because he's abounding with love, and because of what he's done in Jesus, the good news is that I can receive and be credited with righteousness. It's a beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. Christ's life, his death, his resurrection make it possible for me to have relationship with him. His perfect life. Sinless, perfect in every way. His sacrificial, atoning death. He got tortured on the cross. And then his resurrection. Jesus is firstborn from the dead. Because he conquered death itself, that's where my hope is, right? It's because of that, his life, his death, his resurrection, that I can have relationship with the God of the universe, the maker of all, the Holy One. It's amazing. These truths remind me of his goodness, and I'm so thankful for our relationship. So thankful. It drives everything in my life. It's like this. When you have a relationship with somebody, okay, and when they know your failures, when they know your shortcomings, all of that, and they still choose to love you, it's amazing, all right? It's like, gentlemen, if you've ever had, before you're married, okay, if you ever had that conversation with your wife like I did, you know, I'm like, Nicole, there's some things about me that you need to know about before we get married. Like, and I had to come clean. I told her, like, some pretty difficult things. But at the end of the day, by God's grace, she loved me still. And I'm so thankful for that, all right? It's like when someone's seen you at your lowest and seen you at your ugliest point, all right, when someone's seen you hurting, but they've walked with you and they've stuck with you, maybe they even carried you, that relationship is closer than close. In fact, that relationship is intimate. There's an intimacy there. And I'm not talking about the sexually charged kind of undertone thing that we're used to in our culture. I'm talking about this close-knit relationship. It's intimacy. God and I share an intimacy. God and I share an intimacy, and it's through Christ. It's all because of Jesus. And God offers that to all of us. I mean, salvation is available to us all. The day is at hand. It's today. For many of us, it's today. You feel God talking to you right now. It's kind of uncomfortable. The heart's beating, all of that. You get it. You know God's up to something. Listen, the reason, this intimacy that God and I share through Christ, that's the reason why I pray. I don't do it because, you know, like what the science book says, you know, you get the endorphins going. I don't do it for that. I pray because God loves me and I love him. I read his word out of response for who he is and what he's done. That's why I sing. I don't sing because I like to hear myself. In fact, when I hear myself, I think it sounds bad. I sing because he's so good. He's so full of grace. I lift my hands, right? I look like a fool sometimes because he's just so abounding with love. He's so good. How could I do anything but run to him? How? I couldn't. I can't. I've tried. He just pulls me right back to him by his grace. Man. That's why we're reinventing the Driven Ministry. That's why we're redoing this high school thing. God's up to some great things, believe me. And we know that. God's up to some mighty things, but we want more. We want more of Jesus. We want more influence, more impact. We want to put more touches on the high school students of our communities. We just want more, more of God. This intimacy that we're talking about through Jesus Christ, it's because of him that I have a heavenly Father who likes me. It's because of Jesus. I have a heavenly Father who wants me. It feels good to be wanted. I have a Father who enjoys being with me. He enjoys me being with him. And he's always got time. He's always got time for me. He's never too busy. He's not like my dad was to me. He's not like I am to my kids. Like, oh, in a minute. He's not like that. He's different. God is different than us. He loves his children so much that he gave his very life. And it's all in light of who I was. He knows about my past. It's all in light of who I am. He knows who I am. He knows I still struggle with things. Just can't kick a few things. It just keep welling up. This sin is just I can't wait for the day that I'm in heaven and I'm just glorified. Sin is no more. I'm hanging out with Jesus Christ face to face, right? Just singing praises to him. I can't wait for that day, but that's not right now. I still struggle. I still got some issues, but I can't wait for that day to end. And it's all in light of who God is. He's so full of grace. He's abounding with love. That's my God. It brings us to our bottom line again. When we're faced with these truths, amen, I'm so glad this is true. Let's say this together, please, okay? When the truth's brought to light, I'm pointed to Christ. One more time. When the truth's brought to light, I'm pointed to Christ. So thankful for God's truths. So thankful. As we close, let's go back to this graphic here. And some of us indicated we were close, some far, and then some sorry for that. It just sounded bad. Okay. The beauty of God's truth is that it doesn't matter how far or close it doesn't matter how we feel in relation to him. Furthermore, it doesn't matter how far we actually are. All right, some of us are really far, okay? It doesn't matter, because remember, just like what was true in David's life, and I know we're not David, I'm not suggesting that, but just like David, it wasn't about the quality of our hearts. Because we got some issues. We got some bad days. Thank God it's not about the quality. And here's the scary part. I've got some good days too, what I would call good. It's not about that either, because that's not good enough. You want to read that book if you haven't. It's an excellent book by Andy Stanley. We've been provided this moment. I'm talking right here, right now, so that we might turn to him. God is not far from any of us. He's near. And he's provided us a moment that we might turn to him, that we might reach out and find him. So right now, let's turn our hearts to God, that the attitude of our hearts might be towards him. For the person who's close to God, they feel close to God. The reason you feel close is because, I'm just guessing here, it's probably because repentance is a part of your daily life. Dependence on God is a part of your daily life. If that's you, you just keep doing what you're doing and don't lose sight of God. Keep depending on him to keep you that way. If you're kind of in no man's land, just kind of out there, maybe you've drifted away from God, I'm telling you right now, God is not far from any one of us. He's like, wherever you are, you just come to me. If you're doing some stuff that's wrong, just repent, just be dependent on me, come, I'm right here. If you're far away, maybe you call yourself a Christ follower, right? But your life, is just not lining up with that. And you know who you are if that's the case. I knew that when it was true of me. God is saying, come. Maybe you're far from God because you never even knew about God. Maybe you're hearing some crazy stuff here about Jesus Christ you never heard in your whole life, and you kind of think that the guy in the white shirt on stage is kind of just a little, you know, nuts, all right? I know that feeling too because I thought that when I heard it first. But you know one thing that I couldn't deny was that God's word, there was truth just inherent in the word. And I just couldn't deny it. I said, that guy's crazy, but there's something about the words that this guy's saying. If that's you, I just want to encourage you in this moment. God is not far. And he's made himself available through Jesus Christ. Everybody do me a big favor right now. If nothing else, just to make me feel good. I liked rock and roll when I was a kid, and this will help me fulfill a childhood dream, okay? Everybody take out your communication card. It's in your bulletin here, and I just want you to kind of wave it like this, you know, like we're at a rock and roll concert or something, you know, I just play guitar or something. I don't know. All right, let's talk about this in all seriousness. There's on the front side of this, there's right on the bottom, it says, today I've made the decision to, and then there's a blank. If you feel God getting a hold of your heart here, and God is saying, repent, turn to me. If you feel God saying that, I would just ask you, I'd invite you to write repent right there. All right? If God is speaking to you in a different way, and maybe you don't even know God as your Lord and Savior, you don't know Jesus and that sort of thing, and maybe you heard some new stuff and you just feel God is leading you that way towards salvation and you want to follow him for the first time, why don't you write salvation right in there? And on your way out, why don't you drop that in the basket or hand it to an usher? If those two don't work, just start screaming, and then people will come to you, and they might have a defibrillator in their hand, but they will come to you, I assure you, and you just hand them the card, okay? all these bad jokes. You guys are so kind to me. No booze lately, so let's close in prayer, okay? Father, we thank you for today. A beautiful, wonderful day you've given to us, God. And we thank you for your word. And we thank you that with your word, you teach us your truth. God, we're so thankful for your working. We're thankful that your truth points us to your son, Jesus Christ. God, we've got this sin problem, but Jesus Christ, you are the solution. Thank you for making that known to us. Father, help us to be repentant, to turn to you. And God, help us to depend on you like never before. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.